Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you. From daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
The search for truth never ends. Introducing June's Journey, a hidden object mobile game with a captivating story. Connect with friends, explore the roaring 20s, and enjoy thrilling activities and challenges while supporting environmental causes. After 7 years, the adventure continues with our immersive travels feature. Explore distant cultures and engage in exciting experiences. There's always something new to discover. Are you ready? Download June's Journey now on Android or iOS.
The Rich Zeoli Show podcast is sponsored by Mike Veneria Jr. with Osperity Private Wealth.
Hi, I'm Mike Veneria Jr., Wealth Management Specialist. Make your retirement dreams a reality by creating your retirement plan today. Call me at 856-252-0107.
Please raise your right hand and repeat after me. I, Donald John Trump, do solemnly swear.
I, Donald John Trump, do solemnly swear.
That I will faithfully execute.
That I will faithfully execute.
The office of President of the United States.
The office of President of the United States.
And will, to the best of my ability.
And will, to the best of my ability.
Preserve, protect, and defend.
Preserve, protect, and defend.
The Constitution of the United States.
The Constitution of the United States.
So help me God.
So help me God.
Congratulations, Mr. President.
Never gets old, does it? There you go. The 47th president of the United States of America, Donald John Trump, who is going to speak soon at his inaugural parade inside Capital One Arena, where it's jam-packed with over 20,000 people to be part of this historic day today. Welcome back to the show. Glad you're here. It is our happy hour brought to you by the Grand Hotel of Cape May, New Jersey. And I can tell you how happy I am. Obviously, you can hear it in my voice. How happy I am that the golden age of America is upon us. And I got a text today from my buddy Bob, the owner of the Grand Hotel, saying that that was an incredible speech. And it really, really was. So listen, you know, think about doing a little winter getaway with your family at the Grand Hotel. Indoor heated saltwater pool, hot tub. Restaurant right on site, beautiful place to be to get away and enjoy some time together. And it's never too early to start thinking about summer vacation at the Grand Hotel of Cape May, New Jersey, my happy place, GrandHotelCapeMay.com. So this hour, we only have an hour left because we have a something or other at 6 o'clock, a game or something. So I'm only with you till 6. But I will be tuned in, obviously, all night watching this. I mean, I love this stuff. You know, this is great. And considering how hard we all worked, and we did, we all worked incredibly hard here to have this day happen is, it's just epic. It really is. It's epic. And, you know, I remember 2020. I remember that when Joe Biden became president, and I remember thinking that they were going to ignore Trump, and they were going to try to just leave the guy alone and just let him fade into the ash bin of history. And they did the exact opposite of that because they're idiots. And instead, they went after him with everything, thinking that they would make him the nominee by just endless lawfare against him and that he would lose. And they went after him and he became the nominee. And he crushed it, and he won the popular vote and the Electoral College vote. And the dumbest political people in the world, the Democrats, with their strategy of trying to get Trump as the nominee and how it backfired in their face. And, you know, like I said, for a guy, a lot of other people would have crumbled under the pressure. Not Trump, though. You know what I mean? Not Trump. But this is the greatest political comeback in American political history. There's never been anything like this. I doubt there'll be anything like this ever again. Most people would have just said the hell with it. Most people would. But look, most people wouldn't have survived the initial 2016 onslaught and the way that they tried to cripple his presidency. And then most people would not have been able to come back like that. And most people would have been done. And most people would have just said the hell with it. But not Trump. And soon he's going to speak at his inaugural parade inside Capital One Arena. And it's incredible. The greatest political comeback in American history, period. Period. Just unreal. Just unreal. Absolutely unreal. So I'm very happy today. And I know you are as well. And I know we all are. Matt, what's going on over in the United States Senate at the moment?
Absolutely nothing.
Absolutely nothing?
Yeah, Schumer spoke a few minutes ago. He didn't say anything particularly interesting. And now there's just a lot of standing around. And it's so boring, in fact, that C-SPAN isn't even carrying an audio feed for it.
Oh, really?
There is nothing going on. Yeah, they're just waiting for a senator to speak.
Okay. All right. Well, there we go. I was hoping for a little more action today on the show, to be honest with you. We've had a lot of pomp and circumstance and not a lot of Dom's show was loaded up with all the great speeches. But I hope he gets to the podium before six tonight. That would be nice.
It would be nice, yeah.
Right?
Heck, at this point, I'd settle for anything other than dead air on the Senate floor. Just do something, guys. Come on.
Just do something. Do anything. Just do something.
It does look like they're going to consider the Lake and Riley Act before they do anything involving cabinet confirmation. Just a heads up, though.
Well, Trump did say that by the time the sun sets tomorrow evening, which will be tonight, that the invasion of the border will have come to a halt. So we do have some time left, but not much time because the sun will set soon. But this will be done in some of the executive orders. I know that they've already shut down the CBP app. Law enforcement has already shut down several areas of the border where the crossings have been very high. There's been an increased presence of Border Patrol. And Trump did make a point today of telling Governor Greg Abbott that everything that the governor of Texas needs, the governor of Texas is going to get. But here's what President Trump said last night at his rally at the Capital One Arena, cut 15.
By the time the sun sets tomorrow evening, the invasion of our borders will have come to a halt, and all the illegal border trespassers will in some form or another be on their way back home.
Good. Let's do that. That will be great. I mean, and this is the slew of executive orders that we can see that are going to happen. And I'm excited. I really am. I think we all have great reason to be excited right now because of everything we're watching. It's happening. I thought his speech today was outstanding. It was an A-plus inaugural address, in my opinion. It was optimistic. It was specific. He was talking very, very specific about what he's going to do. He was saying how he wants to be a unifier. And he wants to bring this country together, and he wants to bring peace, and he wants to be remembered. His legacy, he said, he wants to be his legacy to be a unifier and a peacemaker. And I thought that that was outstanding. That I thought that that was great. And if we can have a legacy of him being a peacemaker and a unifier, that will mean that he will go down in the history books. And that's what he wants. He wants to be a president of consequence. He wants to be a president who truly makes a difference, and he wants to win over his critics. He really does. He wants to win over his critics. And he wants to bring the people that are opposed to him over and support him before this is over. And I think he can do it. I really do. I think he can do it. Now, CNN is already accusing Elon Musk of giving a Nazi salute today. He did not give a Nazi salute. This is ridiculous. But CNN's already doing that. I'll grab the audio of that for you, Matt. It's and then, of course, libs of TikTok showing the pictures of Kamala Harris, Hillary Clinton, so many other people on the left with their arm up in the air as they're addressing a crowd, which you could easily construe if you wanted to as the Hitler salute. But the left, the media, the corporate media is wasting no time and already doing what they do, which is try to undermine Donald Trump and to try to mock him and to try to make him a fight. They're not looking to help. They're not looking to be part of the solution. They are looking to go after him in every single way possible. And that's, you know, they're wasting no time doing it. No time at all. CNN suggesting that Elon Musk gave the Hitler salute. It's ridiculous. Elon Musk was doing what Harris was doing. He called it the Harris salute. So stupid. It really is. So dumb. And Trump, yes, toasted today with a Diet Coke. Vivek Ramaswamy is not going to serve in Trump's new Department of Government Efficiency. He is probably going to run for governor of Ohio. That is also some breaking news today as well. And what else do we have today here? There hasn't been too much breaking news this afternoon. There's been a lot of pomp and circumstance, but the first family is filing into the Capitol One Arena, getting into their seats, waiting for President-elect Trump to come in. President Trump to come in and speak. Here is CNN suggesting that Elon did a Nazi salute today. Damn shameful, these people. Take a listen.
Fully engaged. He is a hero. He is a hero to them. I just want to look at that salute that he gave again, just if anybody missed it. We'll just show it again. He's just wrapped up here. You can hear the... There. All right, so we just showed that. We just showed that.
Right. It's worth salute. It was quick. I think our viewers are smart, and they can take a look at that. But it certainly was... It's not something that you typically see in American political rallies. Put it that way.
No. It was not something that you usually would see. It was quick, as you point out. It was very quick, but it was in a moment of intensity for him as he came out dancing, and then he did that.
By the way, Judge Jeanine may be joining the administration. And this happened last night at the ball last night, the pre-inaugural ball, when Sergio Gore, who is the director of the Office of Presidential Personnel, said last night that Judge Jeanine Pirro would be joining the administration. And Judge Jeanine appeared shocked to find that information out, but he took Pirro's hand, raised her arm and said, and soon, very soon, we have a big announcement for another big hire. We can't mention names. The judge mouthed no, no, and appeared stunned at the remark. It was unclear if the remark was a joke or a serious comment. So we shall see. But I'll tell you what, though, I think there's been a lot of Fox people going over there. I mean, the more people they take, the better, in my opinion, because it opens up more opportunities at Fox. So I'm all for it. Keep doing it. You have Elon speaking? Yeah, let's do it. Let's go for it. Let's take a listen.
Yes! This is what victory feels like. And this was no ordinary victory. This was a fork in the road of human civilization.
Okay.
This. You know, there are elections that come and go. Some elections are, you know, important. Some are not. But this one this one really mattered. And I just want to say thank you for making it happen. Thank you. Goes out to you. It is thanks to you that the future of civilization is assured. Thanks to you. We're going to have safe cities, finally, safe cities, secure borders, sensible spending, basic stuff. And we're going to take Doge to Mars. Can you imagine how awesome it will be to have American astronauts plant the flag on another planet for the first time. Inspiring would that be? You know, there's always problems in life. You know, there's this problem, solve that problem, solve that problem. But you know, there need to be things that inspire you. There need to be things that make you glad to wake up in the morning and say, I'm looking forward to the future. Yeah. I love you guys. So,
yeah, Trump mentioned going to Mars today. Trump mentioned going to Mars. I mean, that's great.
And let me tell you, I'm going to work my ass off for you guys. So, I really will. I really will. So, and, yeah, but I'm super fired up for the future. It's going to be very exciting. As the president said, we're going to have a golden age. It's going to be fantastic. And one of the fundamental things, that one of the most American values that I love is optimism, and this feeling like we're gonna make the future good. We're gonna make it good. So.
Let me jump in here. So President Trump today also in his speech also talked about drill, baby, drill. He wants to bring America back to energy independence. And he said that in his inaugural address today. We're going to drill, baby, drill. He actually said that, which is great. And so good. I mean, that's excellent. That's fantastic. He talked about sending somebody to Mars, and he talked about changing the name of the Gulf of Mexico to the Gulf of America, an executive action he's going to take. By the way, there's Jared Kushner back on the stage. He's been a little bit out of the spotlight. There's Chairman Michael Whatley walking on the stage right now. President Trump expected to speak at this inaugural celebration at Capital One Arena any moment. I think what we'll do is we'll probably jump out of nonstop talk a little bit early so that we can do nonstop talk throughout the end of the show. And I don't think there'll be an objection to that. I know the Grand Hotel certainly won't object to that, but I think that maybe we'll do that. So why don't we take a quick break now? We'll break protocol today. It's inauguration day. It's okay. Take a quick break now so we can come back and bring you President Trump's remarks at the Capital One Arena. And we'll do that. And that is, of course, it's a very special day here. It's a very special day. I do want to thank Dr. Mike Veneria, VeneriaDental.com. And I want to suggest to you, since we have so much to be happy about, so much to smile about, to make your appointment now to get the dental care that you deserve and the dental care that you need, quite frankly. You really do. Now, for me, from my perspective, my entire family goes to Dr. Mike. So, from Mama Zioli to Papa Zioli to me to Bridget to Patrick, Claire, and Reagan, the whole family. And if we can trust them, you know that that means a lot to me, that my whole family, of course, my family's the most important thing to me. But when it comes to complicated dental work, this is where Dr. Mike shines above all else. And it's why so many dentists send their patients to him for complicated dental work, including things like dental implants, because dental implants are incredibly complicated. And you got to make sure you don't go to the closest dentist. You got to make sure you go to the right dentist. And that is Dr. Mike Veneria. So with two locations to serve you in Cinnaminson and Woodbury, he's the guy. Make your appointment today by going to VeneriaDental.com. VANARIA, VeneriaDental.com, Dr. Mike Veneria. And remember, the office, the staff is great. The music he plays is great. And pain-free dental care is also a thing with Dr. Mike Veneria. It's all there for you. We got so much to be happy about, so much to smile about. So make sure your smile is ready for the golden age of America, baby, by going to Dr. Mike Veneria, VeneriaDental.com.
The Rich Zioli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
So it's a new year, 2025, and you're thinking, how am I going to make this year different? How am I going to build something for myself? But where do I start? Shopify is how you're going to make it happen, and here's how.
Shopify makes it simple to create your brand, open for business, and get your first sale. The best time to start your new business is right now. Get your store up and running easily with thousands of customizable templates, no coding or design skills required. All you need to do is drag and drop. Their powerful social media tools let you connect all your channels and create shoppable posts and help you sell everywhere people scroll. What happens if you don't act now? Will you regret it? What if someone beats you to the idea? Don't kick yourself when you hear this again in a year because you didn't do anything now. With Shopify, your first sale is closer than you think. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to start selling with Shopify today. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Head to Safeway this week for these amazing deals for members. Mix and match 1 pound strawberries or 6 ounce blueberries, raspberries, or blackberries for $2.99 each when you buy three. Take advantage of this exclusive digital deal. USDA Choice Boneless Beef Tri-Tip Roast, Untrimmed Twin Pack, $3.97 per pound, limit one package. Visit Safeway.com for more details. See you in the aisles.
Local news can come at you fast. Want the latest on what's happening in your backyard? Download the free Odyssey app. Follow your local news station, and you'll get alerts on the top stories making headlines in your city. You can stay in the know, no matter what you're up to, and be among the first to find out when news breaks. Plus, keep tabs on weather and traffic, so you're never caught off guard. To get started, download the Odyssey app. That's A-U-D-A-C-Y. And follow your local news station.
We are one people, one family, and one glorious nation under God. So to every parent who dreams for their child, and every child who dreams for their future, I am with you, I will fight for you, and I will win for you. We are going to win like never before.
President Donald Trump arriving now at the inaugural parade inside the Capital One Arena. And I got to tell you, it was pretty cool. He walked down the stairs. So did Vice President J.D. Vance. And they said people who were on the sides of the aisles got to put their hands on his shoulders, got to shake hands. And they were really, really cool stuff. They didn't come in through like a back entrance way. They walked down the stairs like anybody would onto the stage. Pretty remarkable, actually, that they did that. But very man of the people, very, very common approach. So we are about to get underway here on this incredibly important day, inauguration day of the 47th president of the United States, Donald Trump. And this is the big story of the hour brought to you by our buddy, Dr. Mike Vanaria, VanariaDental.com. Go see him today for your perfect smile, V-A-N-A-R-I-A, VanariaDental.com, two locations to serve you. It's been a very optimistic day. It's been a very, very patriotic day. And the crowd now is chanting, fight, fight, fight. In fact, let's jump in here and give you a flavor, a taste of what it sounds like at the Capital One Arena. Let's take a listen here. J.D. Vance, by the way, holding his daughter. His two sons are with him as well. Beautiful family, beautiful wife. Mixed race, because he's such a white supremacist racist. Crowd is excited. 20,000 people. Trump is pointing to a binder. He's got the executive orders. I imagine he's going to be signing them. There's a desk set up on stage. And the desk, there's a podium. If you're facing the stage, to the right is the podium with the seal of the President of the United States of America on it. To the left is a desk that has the seal of the President of the United States and a chair. And that's where the president will go after he makes remarks at the podium. He'll sit down and he will sign executive orders. And there's a lot of them to be signed, including changing the name of the Gulf of Mexico, designating the Mexican drug cartels as a foreign terrorist organization, sending the military, including the National Guard, which is really what he's going to be doing, sending the National Guard to the southern border, and doing a lot of things to right on day number one.
Ladies and gentlemen, we now present a selection of participants for the 2025 Presidential Inaugural Parade.
By the way, the Senate Armed Services Committee has voted to advance the nomination of Pete Hegseth, President Trump's pick to serve as defense secretary, on a party line vote of 14 to 13. Senator Tim Kaine, Democrat of Virginia and a member of the committee, told reporters as he exited the committee room that was what the vote is today. So Pete Hegseth's nomination will now go to the full United States Senate, where they are also debating the Laken-Riley Act. And that is the first piece of business that the United States Senate is taking up right now. Yes, as Dr. Nick DiNubile points out on X, the First Lady looking simply elegant as usual. Looks absolutely beautiful, but Zorro's missing a hat. Very funny. President wearing a purple tie today. Many suggesting that it is unity as red and blue come together to make purple. Russian Vladimir Putin is now calling for potential peace talks with President Trump, saying he hopes for lasting peace in Ukraine. Putin says he is ready to discuss a peaceful resolution to the Ukraine war. And there you go. Some pretty incredible things happening already on day number one. They've got citizen leaders of Butler County, Pennsylvania, are part of the parade. So right now they are doing what would be the inaugural parade. You have members of the military. You've got members of the Butler County EMS, a number of people who are marching in, the president, the vice president, the first family. In the viewing stand right now is what would be the inaugural parade. But instead of it being outside on Pennsylvania Avenue, Heroes of Butler County, Pennsylvania. Instead of it being on Pennsylvania Avenue, it is being held inside. All right, I'm going to pot down the music for just a moment. And they are honoring, yes, of course, the firefighter who died in Butler, Pennsylvania on July 13th, Corey Compitore. And the formation includes Pennsylvania State Police and Pennsylvania local EMS and emergency service workers, 911 hospital personnel, who also were all there in Butler, Pennsylvania that day to save President Trump's life. And they are also paying tribute to first responders nationwide right now at the inaugural parade of President Donald Trump, which is happening inside the Capital One arena as we speak. Obviously, this is a parade that everybody had planned for to be outside, but, you know, they're making do with it right now. And it's still pretty amazing nonetheless. He'll be signing a bunch of executive orders. He's got a big binder full of executive orders. The Senate Armed Services Committee, as I mentioned, has voted to advance Pete Hegseth as the Attorney General of the United States, as the Defense Secretary of the United States. And it looks like now there's other committee votes that are happening underway right now. Okay, let's pot back up here. There's going to be a moment of silence in honor of Corey Compitore from Butler, Pennsylvania.
Ladies and gentlemen, at this very special event, let us now take a moment of silence in honor of Corey Compitore.
Moment of silence right now at the Capital One Arena as part of the inauguration. Of course, he gave his life that day when President Trump came within millimeters, truly, of
Thank
death.
Thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen.
There are various military academies that are also marching as well right now. There was the full military processional that they would normally do at the inauguration that was done inside the Capitol building today. They have a number of military schools. I don't know if we're going to hear directly from the president today or not, so we'll jump out of this for just a moment. I want to mention to you, you know, I don't want it to be lost on anybody that on Joe Biden's last day in office today, he pardoned a bunch of his scumbag, corrupt family members, anybody that could tie it to him. But there was also a piece today that ran in the New York Times, or over the weekend, actually, about Joe Biden's mental state. And let's not forget what they tried to pull here when they tried to pretend as if Joe Biden was cognitively fine. New York Times running a story how Biden's inner circle protected a faltering president. from 2022, they said your biggest issue is the perception of age. That's what the former President Joe Biden's longtime strategist had said. Now, look, you and I, we all know President Biden was cognitively out of it. And the only reason why they ever did that debate in June was an attempt to get rid of him. They had to roll the dice because Biden was going to lose. But they got him out of the race. And obviously, they put in the worst candidate in American history. But the fact that the New York Times is choosing to go through and acknowledge all the people that work to protect Joe Biden, they rearrange meetings. This is a quote from the article. They rearrange meetings to make sure Mr. Biden was in a better mood. A strategy one person close to him described as how aides should handle any president. But at times they delayed sharing information with him, including negative polling data, as they debated the best way to frame it. They surrounded him with aides when he walked from the White House to the waiting presidential helicopter on the South Lawn so that news cameras could not capture his awkward bearing. They had Mr. Biden use a teleprompter for even small fundraisers in private homes, alarming donors who were asked to provide questions beforehand. They came up with replacing the grand steps that presidents used to board Air Force One with a shorter set that led directly into the belly of the plane. They chastised White House correspondents for coverage of the president's age. They hand-delivered memos to Mr. Biden describing social media posts on campaign staff that had persuaded allies to write that pushback on negative articles in polls. Mr. Biden's fumbles continued this week in announcing a ceasefire deal between Israel and Hamas on Wednesday. He confused the Emir of Kuwait with the Emir of Qatar and said Hezbollah, rather than Hamas, was responsible for the October 7th attack on Israel. He also referred to his national security advisor as Secretary Jake Sullivan before catching himself. Six key people protected Joe Biden. Joe Biden, the first lady. Dr. Joe Biden, of course, she was able to say that by law. Hunter Biden, his surviving son. Mr. Dolan, one of his top aides, and Steve Ricchetti, the counselor to Biden, knew when and how to deliver information, along with Ann Thomasini, the deputy chief of staff. She and Anthony Bernal, the first lady's most senior aide, took tight control over the president's public schedule. All of them are deeply devoted to Joe Biden. All are adept at navigating his quick temper. All enjoy proximity to the most powerful office in American politics. And all were convinced that he was the only one who could beat Donald Trump. Then there was Joe Biden himself, whose pursuit of the White House had been the family's project for nearly 40 years. Finally elected on his third try, Biden suggested that he would be a transition president, but his pride, plus a string of legislative accomplishments and a strong showing in the 2022 midterms, drove him to seek re-election and set out on a quixotic mission to prove his vitality. Mr. Biden told USA Today that he could have defeated Mr. Trump if he had stayed in the race. But when he departs the White House on Monday, history will remember him as the man who beat Mr. Trump, then paved way for his return. New York Times said Biden was disoriented at events commemorating D-Day, and that at times he gazed off into the distance. Emmanuel Macron even said that Biden was out of it. Remember, this was the same event that Karine Jean-Pierre blamed cheap fakes for Biden looking bad. And then, of course, the media echoed the same exact thing. You remember when Biden went off to look into the great, you know, wilderness over there, and they said that that was a cheap fake, that Biden was going over to shake the hands of somebody who was out of the shot of the camera. Karine Jean-Pierre lectured everybody about that. And then that's when everybody in the corporate media also went and parroted that same lie and lied about that as well, suggesting that everybody was engaging in cheap fakes. The New York Times article finally writing this and writing what we've all known. Mr. Biden's announcement in the spring of 2019 that he was running against the incumbent, Mr. Trump, came after meetings with family members to prepare them for the scrutiny. It was a difficult time. And they write about Beau collapsing. They write about Hunter Biden and the financial concerns. But the concerns over his age were there from the start. In May of 2023, a month after he had announced he was running for re-election, Biden was in the Fifth Avenue duplex of Hamilton E. James, the billionaire former president of Blackstone, making his case about another term to nervous New York donors. It wasn't an automatic decision about running again. He said, I thought to myself, 4 more years means 6 more years. It's a long time. His comments dropped into a 35-minute stump speech that meandered from Ukraine to his childhood were meant to reassure, but to some donors, the comments had the opposite effect. Several left with the same worries over Biden's age that they had when they arrived. They told one another afterward that he hardly sounded like an energized, motivated candidate. In fact, the former president made so many rambling remarks at other fundraisers over the summer that several supporters called his advisors to plead for him to be more focused and on message. Others who saw Mr. Biden thought the wear and tear of the presidency was taking its toll. Quote, he looked a little tired, said Mark Gilbert, a longtime Democratic donor and former ambassador to New Zealand. They held a fundraiser in Park City, Utah for Mr. Biden in August of that year. In part, he said, for other donors who wanted to see him in person because they had read stories about how he'd lost his step. But Mr. Gilbert said the president had been terrific at the event. But other interactions with donors were less rosy, far less rosy. Really remarkable how they hid all this, isn't it? How they hid all of this from the American people. What happened next is not widely known. This is the New York Times again with this report. Mr. Birkenstein went on to say that if Mr. Biden was not running again, he should announce it to give other Democrats time to get into the race. Mr. Birkenstein had been under the impression that Mr. Biden had promised to be a one-term candidate. The First Lady listened but did not reply. The meeting ended. Over time, Mr. Birkenstein was told how his comments had shocked administration officials who'd been in the room. You know what it is really with the elder abuse is that Jill Biden did not want to give up the power. I think history will go on to show that she was the Edith Wilson in the scenario, calling the shots the whole time. I really do. As several of Mr. Biden's current and former advisors tell it, guarding against criticism of his age was the obvious thing to do. So age came up often in political discussions, weighing in on his perceived strength and weaknesses of his candidacy. I mean, think about it, right? That was the game that they all played. That it was people being basically ageist. And I kept saying to you, and many people did, it's not about Biden's age. Trump's not that much younger than him. It's about Biden's mental state. But they kept trying to bring it back to the age thing. And they were successful in doing it insofar as they were able to use the corporate media and people like Zuckerberg and others to help cover for Biden's decline. After fracturing his foot while playing with one of his German shepherds shortly before his inauguration, Mr. Biden refused to wear an orthopedic boot. He did not want to be seen as weak. He wore his leather brogues instead. The end result, his friends and advisors say, was a fracture that did not heal, contributing to a shuffling gait that has continued throughout his presidency. But of course, you know, what we saw was Biden falling on stage and then falling off his bike. There's a whole section in the article about a grueling year of bad days. Remember in that report by the special counsel, Robert Hur, who described him in a devastating report as a well-meaning elderly man with a poor memory. And then, of course, they hid the transcript. They would not allow the audio transcript to come out or even the transcript themselves. But that damage had been done. And then the debate that happened. Now, I still believe to this day that if they did not come out and bribe Biden with the truth about what's on the Hunter Biden laptop, Biden never would have given up. He never would have got out of the race, never. When they got into the France thing, the time that Karine Jean-Pierre yelled at us and lectured us and told us that it was CGI, basically, it was a cheap fake. People who were there at that event said Biden appeared disoriented and at times gazed off into the distance. At a state dinner at the Elysee Palace hosted by President Emmanuel Macron of France, a member of the French presidential staff approached an American attendee and asked with concern about Biden's health, saying he appeared the French slang for out of it or in a fog. Two people involved in planning the president's schedule believe that in hindsight, he should not have been traveling so much during this period. He was exhausted from not one but two trips to Europe and a fundraiser in California in the weeks before his debate with Trump on June 27th. Mr. Biden needed naps during the debate preparation and then turned in a halting, incoherent performance universally described as disastrous by panicking Democrats. Even close aides were aware the president's frailties were stunned by what they saw. It was, as Senator Chuck Schumer of New York recounted in a recent interview, a big shock. 3 weeks later, Mr. Biden dropped out of the race, but he was still defiant up until that moment. Isn't it amazing the New York Times writes about this now? By the way, an update from the Senate. Marco Rubio's nomination to be Secretary of State has been approved unanimously by the Senate Committee on Foreign Relations. No surprise there. We hope to see his nomination pass the full Senate without delay, said Senators Jim Risch, Republican of Idaho, and Jeanine Shaheen, Democrat of New Hampshire. So the New York Times writes this story now of Biden and his frailty and how Biden was out of it. They write this now. Unbelievable. None of it surprises me, but you have to wonder who was really running the show in these final months, the final months of his presidency. And the greatest political scandal in modern American history was covering up Biden's dementia. A drive to the defy odds is at the center of the Biden family. It was true when Biden won a long shot race, blah, 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 blah. The article concludes with, I'm sitting at a desk with him, his friend recalls. His staff brought in a speech on gun violence that he was going to deliver in the East Room that afternoon. So he goes through the speech and he has a pen and he goes line by line, page by page, marking it up. We then went to a meeting with his staff, and he told them what changes he wanted to make. It was like I was back in the Senate when I would hand him a speech. His procedure was no different than what I saw 30 years ago, 40 years ago. At the same time, though, he noticed cosmetic changes in how the president walked and spoke. I used to tell him, you know, you have a great voice. It's smooth. It's clear. You have a voice like Ronald Reagan. That's one of your attributes. Sadly, it's noticeably less. But you know the old adage, don't judge a book by its cover. Four people wrote that story in the New York Times about how they hid Biden's cognitive decline, including Maggie Haberman, who was one of the people who was out there essentially saying that we were all, you know, lying about Joe Biden. We were all making this up, this entire thing about him. Right now, the Capital One Arena, the president and the vice president are overseeing several military bands in the inaugural parade. They are doing the official parade that they would be doing right now on Pennsylvania Avenue if it wasn't so incredibly cold. Elon Musk also beefed up crypto today in a very, very big way. There's another story about President Trump and crypto as well. Musk mentioned crypto and how this will be a crypto-friendly administration, and the Trump crypto coin has boosted President Donald Trump's net worth to over $60 billion, which makes him now one of the world's 25 richest people. 89% of Donald Trump's net worth is now in the Trump meme coin. So hopefully he'll get some of his cabinet members confirmed today. And they'll be doing inaugural, or not inaugural, but they'll be doing immigration raids that'll be happening very, very quickly. And President Trump is also going to be undoing a lot of what Joe Biden did. He'll be signing an executive order, of course, with putting back in Remain in Mexico. He'll be also signing executive orders whacking China with tariffs, and he'll be signing executive orders announcing that the military will be going to the southern border in the capacity of the National Guard, obviously. Now, there's a rumor that's out there. Barack Obama was not with Michelle Obama. There's a rumor that Barack Obama is dating Jennifer Aniston. I don't know if that's true or not. I have no confirmation of that. But anyway, that rumor has been circulating all day today on the internet. But Obama was there by himself today. Former President George Bush and Laura Bush were there at the inauguration as well today. Now, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez hates Joe Biden and blasted the former first lady as Lady McBiden. I think there's a lot of anger that Joe Biden kept Joe Biden in the race so long that the Democrats never had an opportunity to actually run a good candidate against Donald Trump. The Democrat Party is going through a civil war right now. Let's understand what's happening. The Republican Party has never been this united before, ever. I mean, ever. Never before. You've never seen it like this. I mean, typically presidents go in with a little bit of a honeymoon period. But what President Donald Trump is enjoying today is the complete and utter allegiance of the Republican Party. Democrat Party, that clip by Jon Stewart, which was hysterical, In fact, you know what, Matt, let's play that clip again of Jon Stewart from The Daily Show talking about just how effed Democrats are right now on Inauguration Day. It's Representative Pramila Jayapal talking about how excited they are about some of the Democrats in the House of Representatives. Take a listen.
Yes, Democrats have less seats, but have you heard who's in those seats?
We have our first trans member of Congress. We have an engineer from an immigrant community in the San Fernando Valley. We have the first Iranian American Democrat in Congress. We have the youngest member ever elected to the House from New Jersey.
That's not a thing. How did you go from the reasonably impressive first Iranian Democrat to hold a seat to the, I think somewhat reaching for, youngest person ever from New Jersey? And by the way, to the audience, if you think that that framing is not that interesting, wait till you hear that this record-breaking young phenom from New Jersey is 38 years old!
Amazing. It's great. It gets funnier every single time. It gets funnier every single time. So the Democrats are in this terrible position, and the article from Politico, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez saying this, quote, "If I was Lady McBiden, I'd put on my big girl pants, play the long game, and think about my husband's legacy. There aren't that many people left in America who have something nice to say about Joe Biden, and Nancy Pelosi is one of them." The younger Pelosi made clear she was speaking only for herself. Oh, I guess that was her daughter who said that. Pelosi helped engineer the parliamentary coup on Biden last summer. The president had refused to speak to her in any significant way, effectively ending his relationship with his pre-baby boom contemporary, the woman he once called my Catholic sister. Yet when the history of this period is written, I have no doubts that Pelosi's intervention will be seen as vital for her party. Had she and other leading Democrats not insisted Biden drop out of the race, Republicans would have harnessed his abysmal debate performance to claim even more congressional seats, doing even greater damage to Biden's legacy. Yeah, that's basically what I think it was all about, truly. I think it was all about the fact, and I kind of said this to you at the time, too, they didn't really think Kamala Harris could win. I think what it came down to is that they all believed that Biden was going to lose so badly that he would just crush any chance they had in keeping the House or keeping the Senate or taking back the House. And I think that that's exactly what it is. I really do. I think that's really what it's all about. That's why they made that swap. But Kamala Harris was a disaster. I think that they never really thought that she had a chance of winning. That was Alexandria Pelosi who said that. Senators are set to vote later this evening to confirm Marco Rubio as Secretary of State. A number of Democrats have said they will support his nomination, which, again, like I've told you, is a senatorial courtesy, the fact that Marco Rubio is a United States senator, and so they're going to give him that courtesy. But what Democratic anger and what the civil war that's going to play out eventually is that there's no leader in the Democrat Party right now. There will be eventually, but there isn't. And the battle is going to be for which direction to take this crazy, broken party. And on that note, I can tell you, you're going to see the governor of Pennsylvania, Josh Shapiro, try to very, very quickly orchestrate himself as being the top dog. And other Democrats are going to do it. Now, Gavin Newsom, who probably was the top dog until the L.A. fires, has lost a tremendous amount of whatever little clout left he had in the Democrat Party for his handling of the fires. Plus, they all think he's an arrogant D-bag. So there's that. And I think that Josh Shapiro is going to try to make a play and try to angle for this right now. But the wacko squad members like AOC are going to say it's their time to lead the Democrat Party. And if they had only had a kook in the position, they could have beat Donald Trump. That battle is going to play out in a big way. Hell, who knows? Maybe Fetterman himself will try to run for president. I mean, stranger things have happened. But they're going to the battle that's going to play out is going to be the battle between whack jobs like AOC and the squad and Democrats who are going to try to position themselves the way Bill Clinton did in 1991 in the lead up to the 1992 presidential election. Yeah, last week, Peter Ducey asked Karine Jean-Pierre who the leader of the Democrat Party was, and she said nothing. Actually, we have the audio of that. Yeah, let's play it, Matt. That's actually a good thing to play here on today. Let's take a listen.
A week from now, it's all over.
Yes.
Between next Monday and 2028.
2028?
Who's the leader of the Democratic Party?
Oh, my goodness. Wow. That is for people much smarter than I to make that assessment, that decision. Obviously, voters will decide. That is not something for me to decide. I could say right now in this moment, in this room, as I'm looking at the clock as it's counting down because we have to leave shortly, you have the President Joe Biden, who is obviously the president and the leader of the Democratic Party. I do not have I cannot predict the future, so that is not something that I'm going to do from here.
There is no leader in the Democrat Party, and that's another big problem for them, is they don't have a leader in the Democrat Party, and they have a civil war breaking out with just a bunch of freaking kooks. That's where things are at the moment. I mean, really, that's where things stand at this moment in time. It's not good for them. They're in an absolutely terrible, terrible position in this moment in time. It's never been so bad for the Democrats. So the battle's going to be, do we go kooky? Or do we go try to become the centrist political party that we were back in the early 90s? And I think it's also important to remember something else as well. When George H.W. Bush was president, he enjoyed an approval rating in the 90%. And that's when Bill Clinton, as governor of Arkansas, started positioning himself to say that that he was the leader of this new Democrat Party. My prediction is... And my predictions are pretty spot on here. That's the game plan that the Pennsylvania governor is going to assume. That's the road he's going to go down. But look, it's going to be exciting. It's going to be an exciting 4 years. And I think Trump is going to do such a great job. My prediction is it's going to be very hard for any Democrat to beat his successor. Just like Reagan was able to get George H.W. Bush elected president. I mean, really, truly, Bush won the presidency because Reagan was such an effective, incredibly effective, accomplished president. And I think that ultimately that's what's going to happen here as well, whether it's J.D. Vance or another Republican. But clearly, J.D. Vance is the front runner for 2028. I know it sounds crazy that we're already talking about 2028, but we are, and we're going to be. And what Donald Trump wants is he wants to not become president for life. He wants to do such an incredible job. Such an incredible job that he is beloved and that the Republican Party is able to then go on for another 4, potentially 8 years. So it'll be a 12-year run, just kind of in reverse. All right, listen, that's the show. I'm sorry we were not able to bring you President Trump's speech, but I'll be watching. I'll be turning on Fox News in just a matter of moments and watching his inaugural parade indoors today. God bless America. God bless you for all your hard work in helping elect President Donald Trump. Great job by each and every one of you working hard and delivering for the President of the United States of America. This is a great day. The golden age of America is here. I'm excited. I know you're excited as well. I know we're all excited for what is going to be a great, great, incredibly important, significant 4 years. So keep the conversation going on X at Rich Zeoli. Thank you and God bless America.
The Rich Zeoli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.